now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this evening to Luke chapter 6, we're going to read from verse 47, and this evening I'd like to spend some time looking at doctrine and how it must have the correct foundation, or you will build upon that foundation in vain. To begin with, let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke, and we're going to read from verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man who built a house and digged deep, and he laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, but could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you, O Lord, because we know that your word is for instruction in righteousness. And Father, we understand that the worlds were even framed by your word. So help us, Lord, to realize that your word is not just mere words, but it's actually life and life expressed. And so, Father, we pray for the light upon your word, that it might be expressed or projected from our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Notice Jesus tells us that a foundation that is dug deep and founded upon a rock will weather any storm that comes its way. He tells us this is a sure foundation, and notice also this rock Jesus is speaking of is Revelation. That is what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:19. He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. And if the foundation of God stands sure, then what would be the point of building another foundation? We already have the correct foundation to build upon. Brother Brown makes it very clear in his sermon, The Rapture, that the rock that Jesus was referring to was Revelation. In the rapture, he said, in the Bible, Cain and Abel didn't have a Bible to read, but it was revealed to Abel by faith, which is a revelation. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified that he was righteous. When Jesus was asked here in Matthew 16 and 17 and 18, and we haven't got time to read it, but if you want to write it down, he said, who does man say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, one of them said, you're Moses or Elijah or someone. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this unto you. And upon this rock, the spiritual revelation of who God is, who Jesus is, and he is the revelation of God. God made in flesh and revealed to the world. He was in the world. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, revealing what God was in a body of flesh. Thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God. And he said, flesh and blood never revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you, and upon this rock I'll build my church, the revelation of the word in its season. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. So the church is built upon a sure foundation, and that foundation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now let me take you to another scripture where Jesus speaks concerning the doctrine. And notice he compares the doctrine of the Pharisees to the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Pharisees on one hand, the doctrine of Christ on the other. In Matthew 16 and 12 we read, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So notice, on the one hand, Jesus is telling them, beware of the leaven of these guys over here. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, now who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, or some say Elijah, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, Peter, you are just a tiny stone, because that's what the name Peter means. You're just a tiny stone, but upon this rock of revelation that my Father revealed unto you, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So what we're looking at is having the correct foundation to build the church of God upon, and that correct foundation is Jesus Christ and him crucified, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 2 and 20, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, the same apostle also speaks of this in 1 Corinthians 3 and 10. He says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For no other foundation can any man lay than what is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold and silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort that it is. If any man's work abideth, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. In other words, look, the foundation is the doctrine of Christ, okay? That's your foundation. He says, you build upon that doctrine of Christ, and if you have a true building going up, it's going to have true fruits. It will bear what it is. But if you build on it and there's nothing, no works, there's no fruits, he said, well, you won't be lost because of it. That's what he says there. You just don't get no reward. See, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So, I we have to be careful when we get into these discussions with people. That we don't get too emotional and say things that are not right. Because here, and as I said, one of the things that helped me so much was when I preached on the follow-up sermon of the spirit of adoption, then I preached the trail to adoption. I showed how Joseph's brothers, they hated him. I mean, they sold him, they wanted to kill him. Fortunately, the eldest son acted like an older son at that time, kept him from killing him, but he didn't completely act like an older son because he didn't let him go back to his father. They hated him, yet they're going to be there, New Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul had no fellowship except for with Peter. He was the only apostle that I know that went, and I could be wrong on that, maybe some others went, but you don't hear about that in Scripture. Had no fellowship. They left Paul alone. They're going to be there. So who is it for us to judge our brother? I don't say we should judge, but I could say we can stand with our doctrine, and you stand with what God's showing you. And like he said, because if any man's work abideth, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire. So as long as they're building on the doctrine of Christ, which is the revelation of Father and Son, just let it be. If they don't see the things that are coming out of that and the life that comes out of that, that's between them and God. They have to answer to God, not to you, not to me. Now notice the same apostle also said in Hebrews 6 and 1, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. As Brother Vail said, Brian, we've laid that foundation. We've preached the doctrine. He said, now we've got to preach the life. Paul says the doctrine, he says the foundation has been laid. So we don't want to lay again the foundation. What happens if you put a foundation on top of a foundation? Put a foundation on top of a foundation.
Yeah, probably wouldn't be too good.
No, because why? The bottom of the foundation has what?
Footer.
A footer. And that footer is spread out wide so that it allows the building to settle evenly and not like one end goes down, the other end, you know, whatever. Well, if you lay a foundation on top of a foundation, it's not going to be it's not going to be a sure foundation, that's for certain. Now, notice the same apostle says in Hebrews 6 and 1, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. Therefore we are commanded not to try to lay another foundation upon that which has already been laid. That would be really stupid if a man is building his house and he lays a foundation, and then another builder comes along and says, I've got a better plan, and so he lays another foundation on top of that one that's already been laid. That would weaken the entire foundational structure because the foundation must be laid upon a footer to keep it from sinking or settling or cracking, from settling, and thus weakening the entire structure. Anyone who lays any other foundation other than that one has already been laid will not be building up the church, but will be building himself a different building altogether. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So the very purpose of this foundation we're talking about, which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, is for the purpose of laying hold of eternal salvation or eternal life. So the foundation He laid out for us as a master builder was Jesus Christ and Him crucified, which is a good foundation that leads to eternal life. That is what Paul was very critical of anyone coming along and not saying what he had already said. In fact, the same thing with Moses and with William Branham. In the book of Deuteronomy 31:25, we read that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, "Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against you. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck, because while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord. And how much more after my death?" I can hear Brother Branham saying the same thing. Paul said the same thing. "That I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the works of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of the song until they were ended." Now, this which I highlighted, hold in your memory, because we will come to it again in the New Testament, and the highlighting was up here. "I know that after my death, you will utterly corrupt yourselves." All right, we find in the book of Acts 20 and 29, Paul speaking, says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every night, everyone night and day with tears." So Paul is just saying what Moses said, right? All right, in Deuteronomy 31:1. "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." Now remember, Deuteronomy 31:1 follows what Moses said here in Deuteronomy 31:25 through verse 30. See, so 30 right there. So now we pick up where we left off. "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. For my doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe you greatness unto our God. For he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right he is." So when we hear Jesus speaking of building the foundation upon a rock, he's speaking not just of any old revelation. It's got to be the revelation of Jesus Christ, because God is the rock. He's speaking of building it upon the rock God, and the revelation of that God, and how he was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. From God's only provided place of worship, Brother Branham said, "Now the word Deuteronomy, the word itself means two laws, the word Deuteronomy. And God has two laws, the two laws. One of them is disobedient to the word and die, and the other one is obedient to the word and live. That's the two laws. And Deuteronomy means those two laws. They have both been absolutely displayed to us in the scripture. One of them is death, and the other one is life, life and death. God deals only in life, Satan only in death. So we've seen Moses and Jesus and Paul tell us that no other rock can be built upon for the foundation of the church except the one true God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? God was in Christ reconciling the world. Now, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 45. "And Moses made an end of all of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe and to do all the words of this law." As Paul said, take one word off, you've got a curse. In the book of Deuteronomy, Revelation, the same thing. And we heard Moses warn the people that after he left, people would deviate from what he had said. And we heard the Apostle Paul make the same warning and even said that if they did, they would be cursed. That's Galatians 1, 6 and 9. And we hear Jesus in the last book of the book of Revelation say the same thing in 22 and 18. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away from his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." And from his sermon, Thinking Man's Filter, Brother Branham said, he tells us that the curse upon man came because man did not believe all the words of God as he said them. In other words, by calling into question the meaning of the word, it brought on the fall, as we see also in Brother Branham's sermon. Notice he says, notice, oh my, Esau thought that that birthright didn't mean what God said it did. He believed what God said it. He believed what God said, but he just didn't think it meant what he said. You understand? He agreed with it. He just had a different interpretation of it. Oh my, Esau thought that the birthright didn't mean what God said it did, that it was a difference between life and death. And so like Eve and like Judas, he sold their birthrights for a satisfaction of the taste of knowledge. From a sermon, Marriage and Divorce, Brother Branham said, now we realize in making these statements, somebody, if it's only one person, will hang on to it like it was between life and death. There's many of you here will go away believing. Of course, many of you perhaps won't. But I know in my ministry there's people who come to listen at me, and they listen to what I've got to say from, well, they're sitting right here this morning internationally from many of the United States and Canada and across the seas, and you can imagine the strain that it puts on you to know that man's eternal destination lays in your hands because he's going to hold on to what you say. So God would make me answer for it, and I want to approach this just as sincerely as I can. And then we got people who say, well, he really didn't mean it. He's saying, I approach it very, very sincerely. I'm very careful to my words and how I say things. Now, Brother Branham says that God will make him answer for what he says, and then you believe that he deliberately told us things he really didn't believe himself, then what kind of an idiot do you think the prophet is, putting his own life in danger and not saying what the Lord said thus? Can you imagine, Don, you know, you got a few bucks burning in your pocket, and you say, well, I've got 15 bucks, Brian. I just want to share with the kids. I've got coins, you know, like Brother Bailey used to do. So, Brian, would you tell the church that after service that I'll be standing back there, and I've got a silver dollar for each of the kids? Okay, I said, okay. Thus saith Don. At the end of service, he's going to give everybody $10,000. Now, I wouldn't be saying what Don said thus. You understand? I'd be saying falsely. Well, if Brother Branham didn't say what he meant, and didn't mean what he said, then to interpret him incorrectly is calling him a liar. It's calling then the voice of God a liar. Now, from his sermon, Going Beyond the Camp, Brother Branham said, therefore, knowing that you are my responsibility and on my hands by the gospel, I'll always want to keep you right in the pages of this Bible. So when I say it, I want to be dead earnest that it's right with all that I know. And then when he speaks to me, I can just say what he showed me. So now, I want to get my point in the sermon. And to do that, let's turn in our Bible to 1 Corinthians 3 and 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another saith, well, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? Now, I hope that you will notice that the Apostle Paul was telling us that if we are focused on the vessel that God is using to feed you, then you are carnal. Amen. Paul is telling us here that he saw how the people had become carnal because they were comparing one minister to another, one vessel to another vessel. Now, that may be okay in sports or in music. But he's telling us here that that's carnal when you're dealing with the Word of God. Because what have we got that was not given to us from God? Because what we have, we got that, he reminds us where they came from. He says, did you get those things on your own? If a man thinks his ministry is successful based on his own merit, then he's not too mature in the things of the Lord. That's what Paul's saying here. He says, for who maketh thee to differ one from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Well then, look, I can't tell you anything but wasn't given to us by a vindicated prophet, either William Branham or one of the prophets that wrote the Bible, right? So, what can I give you but what's already been said? Then it's not me giving it, it's God giving it. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 1, he said, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful to what? faithful to shut his mouth and just say what God said. See, but with me it is very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against the other. For who made thee to differ from another, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? It all comes back to just saying what the prophet said. He said, say everything on the tapes. If you're saying what's on the tapes, and I'm saying what's on the tapes, and we have a conflict of whatever, then we need to go do a little bit of homework. Right? Because it's not me, and it's not the other minister, it's the one who said it to begin with. All right? Now, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 3:27, where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what? By what laws? Of works? Nay. But by the law of faith. And faith comes from God and God alone. For it is not even our faith that saves us, but the faith of Jesus Christ. His faith that he had in his Father to raise him up, his faith, and not our faith. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless I'm living. Yet it's not I that's living, but Christ is living in me. And that life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by his faith, the faith of the Son of God. Now, I'm getting back to what Paul is saying here in verse 6. He said, I have planted and Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth is anything, but God that giveth the increase is everything. Now, he that plants and he that waters are one. And why are they one? Because they are planting and watering with the same intention, same motive, same objective, and that is for the purpose of bringing forth or imparting God's life. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. I like that. He's telling us we don't act alone, but rather our actions are in accordance with the plan of God, and if God doesn't give an increase, we could plant all day long and we could water all day long, but if God's not there to bring the increase, then all our efforts are in vain. So it is all dependent upon what God's will is. And that is why even Jesus himself said, the Son can of himself do nothing. But whatsoever the Son seeth the Father do, that doeth the Son likewise. Then the Apostle Paul adds, you are God's husbandry, you are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than what is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold or silver, precious stones, wood, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort that it is. In other words, he said, look, if you take the foundation, and now you've got these get rich, you know, you hear it on the television and the radio, you know, these guys preaching I don't remember what they call that, you know, or you're going to get rich if you do this, you know, type of thing. But, you know, that's adding on to that gold or silver or precious stones or wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort that it is. In other words, don't get too puffed up thinking you or your church or your preacher is top dog, because it will all come out in the wash one day, when every man's work will be judged by fire. If any man's work abideth, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if it's a genuine work that God is doing and using that man, then there will be genuine results. Maybe not all in one place, but there will be results wherever that ministry is taken to, if God is the one taking it. And he says, and if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know you not that you are the temples of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men. You hear that? For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and don't ever forget this, and you are Christ, and Christ is God. God's. So you see, God is the head honcho. If there's to be any head honcho. But all this vying for number one is just so carnal. When men are determined to have the biggest ministry or the ministry that has the most followers, they are not doing this so that that Christ might be glorified. They are doing this so from a competitive spirit and not the spirit of Christ. Now, in the masterpiece, Brother Brown lets you know that you cannot have rules without having a basis for those rules. And that basis for rules is the foundation for those rules. And no matter what you build, there has to be a foundation for the building to stand upon. From a sermon, the masterpiece, he says, I asked Mike, my nephew, to ring that bell in 30 minutes, but he's not doing it. And I've already been 30 minutes. We'll continue on a little bit, see? Now, I don't want to break these rules. I made these rules, see? And here's breaking your own rules. In other words, he's saying, look, you don't make rules to break them. The reason why they're called rules is you're supposed to follow them. The reason you lay a foundation is so that the rest of the house has the same shape as what is in the blueprint. Now, a rule is an authoritative prescribed direction of conduct. That is one definition. But notice the next definition. A rule is the body of regulations prescribed by the founder of a religious order for governing the conduct of its members. Now, Brother Bram continued in paragraph 61 of the masterpiece by saying, now watch, every masterpiece is put on a foundation of sculpture. Angelo's monument of Moses is on 3 or 4 foot piece of marble. It's got a foundation. So God, in preparing this masterpiece, he put it on a foundation of the patriarchs. And the patriarch foundation first was Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob, then Joseph, the four corners. And I just come across a quote tonight I thought was beautiful. Brother Brown said, if you're a son of Abraham, then you'll do the works of Christ. All right, there's your foundation. Now, I think it's interesting that the official English definition of the word rules refers to the body of rules prescribed by the founder of a religious order, because a founder, according to the American Heritage Dictionary, is the one who establishes something or formulates the basis for something. And the word basis means a foundation upon which something rests. So you can see what Brother Branham said about rules. It ties perfectly into what he's speaking about concerning the foundation piece for the masterpiece to rest upon. In other words, the foundation is supposed to bring rest for the body of Christ. Now, from the greatest newsflash in history, Brother Branham said, they wasn't going over to argue their religious points. They were going over to say, I know he's alive. I know him because he appeared to us, and we've seen him do the same things that he did before he died, before they killed him up there, and they never stole his body away, and the woman is exactly right because he did raise from the dead, because it was him. Then they looked at one another when they stopped somewhere to rest a little bit and said, did not our hearts burn within us? We ought to have known that was him. Why, it went all the way back into the scripture. Didn't our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us along the road and opened up the scriptures and said, fools and slow of heart to understand? Ought not Christ to have suffered and entered into his glory, as the scripture said? See, they know that was Jesus because he lined straight with the scripture no matter what the others said. In other words, as we preached the other day, line upon line. If I've got a quote from William Branham, I've got to have a scripture to line upon line. If I've got a scripture, I've got to have that quote to line upon line to make sure it's saying the whole thing, the same thing. If I've got scripture and I've got scripture, they're not going to fight each other. So they will line upon line upon line. Otherwise, you've got, like Brother Ramsey, you take one part of a scripture. Here it says, Judas hung himself. And another part over here is, go ye therefore and do likewise. He said, that doesn't line up. You can't find it from Genesis to Revelation. That's somebody's making things up from taking bits and pieces of scripture. It's got to line upon line, because if your foundation is built and you try to build a house other than the foundation, if it doesn't line upon line with the foundation, it's going to fall. It's going to break. Something's going to happen because it's weak. See? Because he lined straight with the scripture no matter what the other said, and sooner the church gets to the place that it'll line up with the scriptural teaching instead of trying to make some man-made theology, quicker you'll find the resurrected Christ. That's right, my brother. God builds on no other foundation than what's already been laid by the apostles. That's right. Oh, yes, they were happy. So I see that there is only one foundation, and that foundation was laid by the apostles, and that foundation was Christ. And if we preach anything but Jesus Christ, then our preaching is in vain. And the Apostle Paul said, if we preach anything that he had not already preached, then we are cursed. So don't tell me that this preacher is great or that preacher is great, because all they can do is say what has already been said. In other words, as Brother Branham said, it's the Scripture that's great. And if they deviate even one word from thus saith the Lord, then what they are building has gone off the foundation and is in danger of having to be torn down and rebuilt. Let me just quote that back, because that's happening. If they deviate even one word off from thus saith the Lord, from a vindicated prophet, then what they are building has gone off the foundation and is in danger of having to be torn down and rebuilt. Let me tell you something. The county inspector, the building inspector, he can make you tear down your building and rebuild it if it deviates from the blueprint. I know. Because when I was building Christina's house, and we had it laid out a certain way, and the guy that put in the foundation tilted our plan and threw this corner out toward the street, and we were like 3 or 4 feet off of the blueprint. It had to be so many feet from the center line of the street. I actually had to go to every neighbor and get their permission, written permission, that they would accept that. Or he said, you're going to have to tear it out and redo it. The county inspector has that authority. He can make you tear it down. A lot of people say, we're going to do this and we're not going to get a permit. Well, you don't get your permit, you can make it tear it down. That's if you're building a new house, all right? I don't know what they do with grandfathering. I think that's okay, but anyway. And from his sermon, you must be born again, Brother Branham said, Brother Lee had a dream. Now, he's not talking about Brother Vail, he's talking about a friend of his. And he'd always debated with me about the water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't believe it. And he was a contractor, so he said, Brother Branham, I just dreamed a dream. And he said, I dreamed I went up to New Albany, and I was building a man's house, and he gave me the blueprint. But when I seen the way, a certain way that he cut his windows and fixed a certain place, I said, that's not right. It just can't be right. That's contrary. Now, that isn't right. So I built it the way I thought was right. And when he come back from Florida, from his vacation, I had his house almost ready. And he looks at the house, and he goes and gets the blueprint and looks at that and said, say, you built my house wrong. And I said to him, no, I haven't built your house wrong. What about this such and such in such and such a place? Well, he said, that really don't belong there. He said, tear it down. If you expect me to pay you, you'll build it the way the blueprint said. And he said, what do you think about that, Brother Branham? And I said, there's a creek running right down below the house here. And he went to it, and he said, I don't want any tearing down on that day. And I said, get it right now. Put it up according to the blueprint. So, brothers, if God's mouthpiece said that he, in John 14:12, is everybody that believes, anybody that believes, whoever believes, or every person that believes, then who are we to say the blueprint is not the way we like it, so we are going to change what the voice of God told us the word he means? Who are we to say it's singular and speaks of only one person when the blueprint, the voice of God, to this generation said it is plural and speaks of more than one person? And who are we to argue with a vindicated prophet about anything? Who are we to say that's not what the Bible says? The Bible says he, and he is singular. When we do that, we are placing our own mind and ability to reason above the voice of God to us, and that is a very dangerous position to be in, because that has left the foundation, and that thinking will have to be torn down before it can be built up again. When man thinks that he knows more than God's mouthpiece, there's only one reason, and that is pride. Now, from his sermon, Satan's Eden, Brother Branham said, there you are, man mustn't establish their self. We find it, let God do something for a person, send him out there, and you find every man trying to impersonate it. See, they're trying to establish themselves. Every man, I did this, me, I, mine, denomination, me, this, establish themselves. What are we preaching about, ourselves or the kingdom of God? establish the Word of God, take out the unbelief, establish the kingdom of God in a man's heart, and the kingdom of God cannot be established in a man's heart lest God made that man thus. He cannot be establishing, and remember the deceitful part that men think that it's right. See, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Every intellectual being seems right. Now we see the same problem today, best illustrated in sports. People idolize the winner and they loathe the loser. They get behind the ones that have the biggest stats, and no one wants to follow the man who doesn't have the biggest bat or the most home runs or the greatest strikeout record. And in the spiritual world, it's no different. The bigger the congregation, the more right we must be. The bigger the missionary program, the more we think God is in it. But what about this man that God tells to go to a place that's not big? Does that mean that he's all washed up? The history of God dealing with man is replete with examples of God dealing with one man at a time, and that man has no great following, and if he had a following, they soon left him or tried to stone him like they did Moses and Jesus.
Amen.
Now, Brother Brown said in his sermon, Rejected King, he said, the people does not seem to be satisfied with the way that God placed his church to be governed and controlled by the Holy Spirit. They want somebody, some man, some denomination, some certain people to govern the church that they're not able to throw themselves completely into God's hand, to be spiritual, to be led by the Holy Spirit. They want somebody to do their religion for them, somebody that will tell them just how to do it and all about it. So this man seemed to suit the place exactly because he was a very intellectual man, and it's a whole lot like today. We like to choose such people too, to control our churches, to control the churches of God. Nothing that I have to say against it, but just merely to make a point that it was not, and it will never be the will of God for such to be. God is to rule his people, to govern each individual. And from Jehovah Jireh, he said, God will raise up all kinds of things if the church will just get in a condition to receive it, but he will never build his foundation upon something that man has laid. For there's no other foundation that can be laid than that which is laid, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, and the revelation he'd build his church upon of Jesus Christ. Yes, sir, make him the same yesterday, today, and forever. From the message, To Whom Shall We Go? He said, now listen, many times education leads to the demon of education, and that demon of education leads you to know it all. And when you get there, then you become an infidel and deny Christ. So you can't build upon the foundation of education, neither can we build it upon political powers. You say, well, I'm so interested, I'm Democrat, or I'm Republican. Both parties is rotten. There's only one foundation to build upon, and that's Christ. This nation don't need to build upon any foundation but Jesus Christ. That's right. No other foundation is laid, but other foundation can get you, and no other foundation can get you to heaven. No other foundation is secure but the foundation of Jesus Christ. And from the message, it was not so from the beginning, Brother Branham said, and Jesus found these people, the Jews, perverting the word of God, making the commandments of God of none effect. He said, you with your traditions take the word of God and pervert it into making it say something that it does not say. And what do? It takes the power out of that word. And when someone says that the Word of God does not teach divine healing, they are saying something that the Word does not say. And when they say that the Word does not teach the baptism of the Holy Ghost for believers in all ages, they are saying something that the Word does not say. They are substituting something to take its place. When we try to say that shaking hands or membership or some of those things, which are all right, but it'll never take the place of the Holy Spirit in the church. That's God's foundation, and there can be no other foundation laid. We can hear the author of this book so solemnly warn us, except a man be born of spirit, he will in no wise enter into the kingdom. Now, why do you think Judaism failed? They were building the foundation and they kicked out the very cornerstone that becomes the head of the corner, which is Jesus Christ. When he came, instead of using the chief cornerstone to build upon, they said, we don't need you. We have Moses. And he said, if you believe Moses, you would receive me because I'm the one he was pointing to. Well, Jesus said in John 5:44, how can you believe which receive honor one of another? Isn't that what Paul was saying? And seek not the honor that cometh from God only. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father, because there is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. And had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Well, the same thing is true today. They say, well, you know, John 14:12 is only William Branham. And then you show them quotes from William Branham, and they say, no, he don't know what he's talking about. Well, they don't quite say that, but you know, they say, well, no, he's, you know, it's confusing. It's just confusing. No, it's not confusing. Now notice, they were involved in the very same thing Paul talked about. Men currying favor with other men and yet claiming to be the elect of God for their day. They could quote Moses all right, but they missed the very one that Moses spoke of because they were building upon a foundation that was not the foundation that Moses had laid. Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet unto you just like me. He's going to come with manifestation. He's going to come with miracles. He's going to come with sign of Messiah. He's going to come with all of that. Hear ye him. And when he came, what do? Oh, we got Moses. We don't need you. But I'm the one he spoke of. Well, but you didn't come to our organization. Now look, there is no other foundation but Christ. And the very one that they looked for, they missed because he did not come like they thought he should come. So what foundation are you building on? What are you learning about? What are you studying? What are you spending so much time of your waking hours doing? Now we spend so much time tending to the one-third of us that's flesh, and we starve the two-thirds part of us that is spirit. It just doesn't seem to make sense. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then he will profess unto them, I never knew you. I never gnosko'd you. I never had that personal, intimate relationship with you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. That's upon Revelation. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. In closing, from making a way, Brother Brandon, he said, but brother, God made a way of escape, and you'll have to come to God's terms, and that's through Christ Jesus our Lord. No other foundation is laid but that which has already been laid. No one to build upon any other foundation like stubble and mud and flood. The floods will just wash it away, and great will be the fall. But Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And what is it he built upon? On the spiritual revealed truth that he is the Son of God. Who does man say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say Elijah, some say Moses, some say John the Baptist, and so forth. But who do you say that I am? And without hesitation, without taking a second, listen, sinner, that's the way that you receive it. He'd been with him. He knew what he was. And then before he could even think a second, the Holy Spirit got a hold of him, and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You never learned it from somebody's theology, never come to you from a seminary with it, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed it to you. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The floods may come and the tides may go, and oh, but he who safely in Christ will ride the storms of the atomic, the same as Noah did, and did the storms of the flood safely in the ark. Let your faith drop down into that once and see what takes place. Oh, God's solid rock.
Amen.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, that we have a foundation, a sure foundation, a precious foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And Father, we know that it is the revelation of you and how you entered your Son. You came into the world to manifest yourself, not him, but yourself through him. And Father, we know that you said, he said, the Son can do nothing but what he seeth the Father do. And that which the Father does, that works that he sees the Father do, he enters in and does the same works. And then you said, through that body, you said, and the works that I do shall you, my believers, my children, shall do also. And so we see that the pattern was set with the firstborn son. He did only what he saw the Father do. And the pattern is set for us as sons to do the works of Christ as we see you, Father, perform them in your word, or when the situation comes and we see it in the Bible and we know that it's exactly the same scene, we can step in with assurance knowing that you set up everything for us. The hat is on the chair, and so we're just going to follow through. We've been instructed how to, so Lord, we just pray that you'd give us the unction of your Holy Spirit, the wisdom and spiritual revelation of you, and just to do what you said that we would do. Because it's not us doing it, it's the Father that worketh in us. And so, Lord, you said, right after that, you said, ask the Father anything in my name, and it'll be done. I'll do it. So, Father, we just come to you. We ask you, Lord, to help us become sensitive and aware of every situation that we are in, that we live in. And, Lord, may you be glorified through these bodies, the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And may the Lord make his face shine upon thee. I've come across some really beautiful quotes here, just studying all day long and on the works of Christ. And where many, Brother Branham's many, many places. But even John, John chapter 6, I think it's either John 6 or Matthew 6. But anyway, he says, he sent two of the disciples to Jesus and said, John has seen the works of Christ, and so he wants to know, are you the one? And Jesus said, go tell John, the blind see, the dead are raised. And Jesus lists off six things, and preaching the gospel is the last one. These are the works. Tell him, these are the works of Christ, and yes, this is Christ. You see, it's not you. It wasn't Jesus. He said, I could do nothing. It was the Father working through it. It's not you, but it'll be him doing it. And I'm reading more and more and finding out, Brother Brown said, we've got to reflect him before he'll actually do those works. So that's our getting the cart before the horse. That's where we need to be. I mean, getting the horse in front of the cart. We need to be a reflector of him. And Brother Brown said, the works of Christ, it'll lead you to live the life of Christ. He said, if you so live that life of Christ, he said, you can expect then the works of Christ will follow. Hallelujah.